Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And it's time now for the Friday gathering, and I'm joined this week by Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment and Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, Neil Richmond, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, Breed Smith, Group Head of News at Media House Ireland and Executive Editor of the Irish Independent, Kevin Doyle, and Editor of the Migrant Vote and former Integration Manager with the Immigrant Council of Ireland, Tereska Bukowska. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for coming in. Now, I mentioned earlier, I was telling our listeners that in the last half an hour, Sinn Féin has revealed it's putting down this motion of no confidence in the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee. And a spokesperson for Sinn Féin said the party believes that Taoiseach has been given sufficient time to remove Helen McEntee from office and has chosen not to. Therefore, the party has decided to place a no confidence motion in the minister. So, Neil, your response.
Well, this is no surprise. Sinn Féin have voted no confidence in this government once every 3 months since this government came into office. They've never had confidence in Helen. They've never had confidence in the Garda Commissioner, even before he took up his role. And yet we see what has been a really awful event last Thursday night in Dublin City, that the lead opposition party just wants to play politics with it. Mm-hmm. We've seen their language and their actions in the Dáil the last week. None of them have been constructive. None of them have actually addressed the key issues. Instead, they think this is an opportunity, as Louise O'Reilly very unfortunately said, to take out an individual minister.
OK, now, it was said during the week that Fine Gael and the government would actually welcome this motion of no confidence. Is that how you feel about it?
Well, we'll put down our counter motion of confidence, of 100% confidence in Helen as Minister for Justice. We stand over our record when it comes to justice, when it comes to law and order, what we have been able to demonstrate in the last week in terms of a rapid response to this. And if Sinn Féin's sole objective is to play politics, so be it. We have absolutely no problem addressing the issues, being constructive and working with members of the opposition that want to be constructive on this issue.
This will be debated and the vote will take place, Breed, on Tuesday, I'm seeing here. Do you know how you'll vote?
We'll probably vote with Sinn Féin, but I don't think the question of who's Minister for Justice or who's Garda Commissioner really deals with the issues that we're facing and what we saw in Dublin. I think it's a much deeper problem. It's not just about law and order. It runs much deeper about the sort of culture that is behind the level of racism and hate and bile and, you know, stuff being stoked up that communities are responding to. Some elements of communities, not all. In fact, a tiny minority.
So but why, I think it's a much, much deeper issue. Would you vote no confidence in the minister if you don't believe in that?
Well, I mean, I don't believe that is the question. I'm not. We certainly wouldn't be voting with the government on having full confidence in her, that's for sure. So if it was a choice between one or the other, and I wouldn't have full confidence in any of those who think that this is just a law and order issue. I think what we're missing is the conversation that goes behind why did this happen, how did it happen, and how can we prevent it again? And actually looking at how remiss policing has been in dealing with the, excuse me, the growth of hatred online and the far right and fascism.
We'll talk about some,
and the
some
actions
of those issues
that they have carried
moment.
On that haven't been challenged by law and order at all.
Kevin, what do you think Sinn Féin's strategy is here? Because they did say at the beginning when this happened, we'll wait and see what Sinn Féin and what the Taoiseach has to say and what the Minister for Justice has to say have to say in the Dáil this week. That happened on Tuesday and again when Helen McEntee took leaders' questions. So what do you think they're at here? What's the motivation?
Well, the motivation is to damage the government. I mean, that's very obvious.
But the government's going to win this.
The government's going to win. We had the dress rehearsal for this during the week when there was Dáil statements on the events of last week. And normally in that circumstances, you do see the parties come together to kind of condemn what has happened, even if they can't agree on the necessary solution. So it was interesting to see a situation where it became very much a political debate rather than a condemnation of what had happened. So Sinn Féin's motion, this will keep it rolling now. We're getting edging to the Christmas break, so it will let the government go out with a slap in the face for the Christmas break. There is absolutely no question of Helen McEntee being ousted as Justice Minister next week. The numbers are there. There are people within Fianna Fáil, certainly we know a couple of senators have spoken out. There are people within Fine Gael who are uncomfortable with her performance going back to last summer with that botched photo call on Talbot Street. So there is uncomfortableness around her performance, but there is absolutely no question that there is somebody going to lose the whip to vote against Helen McEntee. Mm-hmm. And I think the government will have no problem getting enough independents to either abstain or vote with them to make sure that she stays in position.
Is that accurate, Neil, that there's some discomfort within Fine Gael at her performance?
Absolutely not, to be honest. And I know some people get quoted in newspapers anonymously, but I can put it quite frankly from my position and position of all my colleagues, and we had a very robust meeting of our parliamentary party on Tuesday, that we have full confidence in Helen. And I think her response in the last week in particular has been proactive. She's gone before the Dáil a number of occasions. She'll go before the committee and stating out exactly what she's doing directly in response to Thursday's horrendous events, but also working. And I spent 2 hours with her on Abbey Street last night with business groups, with trading groups, with publicans, in order to work to make sure people are reassured that our city is safe, that the level of policing that we've seen over the last week will be maintained, and equally that we want people to come back and support the businesses and workers that have been so badly affected.
But you will have a job now over the weekend getting all of the rural independents on side, because the fear is that the more you ramp up policing in Dublin, the more that rural areas will suffer, that you're just moving the problem.
Well, absolutely. We'll speak to independents that regularly vote with the government. We'd expect a lot of them to support. And if we listen to the statements on Tuesday, I think it was the Labour Party said this isn't the time for a confidence motion. A number of independents said, why are we playing politics? Let's respond. When we talk about the policing action in Dublin, what is being handled at the moment is done through overtime. We'll see 150 new guards coming out of Templemore in the middle of this month. Most of them will go to Dublin, but not all of them. And we'll then be looking in the new year.
Sean Kenny was one of the independents who expressed this. He's based in Galway, of course. So, I mean, it's not something that is an imagined or something that we suspect might happen. It is happening. People are worried about it.
And absolutely. And Sean has as much claim over Dublin as I do. This is our capital city. O'Connell Street is the main thoroughfare of all people in Ireland's capital city.
Oh yeah, but Sean he's will going be to be more concerned to, about Galway
Sean
East,
will be spoken
in
to this weekend. Sean will have serious questions, no doubt, for Helen, for Guard Organisation, and we will reassure him that absolutely policing across the island will be maintained, and a particular emphasis has been put on Dublin, particularly with the use of public order units over the last week up to and beyond Christmas, and that won't be at the detriment of rural places in Galway or anywhere in the
country.
Okay,
and Teresa, I saw you nodding along there when I think it was Neil was saying that this vote of no confidence shouldn't be happening. Why?
I'm not a politician. I'm a migrant rights campaigner, but I can clearly see right now we are witnessing political games and not really addressing what is the root causes of the situation. And we're trying to point fingers at very narrow segment of the society or people in the government who are guilty of what happened in Thursday and the responses that are always late and never adequate. But we are shy from actually discussing what is the real problem and trying to find solution to something that is very complex. We're trying to find very simple solution to something that is very complex. And I don't agree with the opposition trying to use it as a political gain to try to shake the government, where migrant communities are constantly in fear. And today I keep responding every day to messages on different migrant rights groups, WhatsApp groups and so on. People actually are afraid to go to work. They are afraid to send kids to school. And they don't see anyone actually asking them what is happening, what solutions they would like to see. They only see those political games. So I'm really disappointed.
But we can deal with a number of problems. And we do have a problem in that children were stabbed on the street in broad daylight and their carer. And then control of the city centre was lost last Thursday night. I mean, that is a distinct problem that the government has to face and has to deal with.
Absolutely. But something that the Irish society witnessed for one day, this was a scaled up experience, everyday experience that migrant witness. When we step outside our front door every day, we are in fear that something might happen. A week before the riots in Dublin, we were helping a migrant woman who was pelleted with stones for speaking her mother tongue on Dublin streets. So it's something that happens to us every day. So we are expecting a better conversation that is involving our voices, because it was a scary situation for everyone. But imagine that this scary situation happens to migrants every single day.
Is Ireland a racist country?
This is very complex. This is a very complex question, and I have to be very careful about what I'm going to say, because I love Ireland. I consider myself Polish Irish. I spent 18 years in this country, half of my life, and I love Ireland. But I also experienced racism, a lot of racism. And I was working at the Immigrant Council. I was running a support line for victims of racism, and I could hear and talk to people what's happening to them on a daily basis. So racism exists in Ireland. But I don't want to But I don't want to really narrow the problem of racism to marginal communities that are marginalized. That's what's been happening the last week when people are saying this is the far right. These are the people who live in this region of Dublin or in this region of Dublin. That's not true. Racism happens across all spectrums of society and everyone has responsibility to tackle it. And unfortunately, a lot of people that are usually not associated with far right or certain social groups are causing damage through racism. But there is also a lot of good in Ireland. And there is every time my heart is being broken by what's happening on Dublin streets when it comes to racism, Irish people come together and rebuild that sense of trust and sense of belonging. And I think that's very important, that Ireland has that ability to rebuild the sense of trust.
Okay, and can we talk a little bit more about the response to this, the political response, Breed? Because there was a lot of surprise when Helen McEntee referred to the people who were involved in those riots as scumbags in the Dáil. Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you heard it?
Well, I was sitting there when she said it and I was quite shocked by the use of the language. Excuse me, it's very unparliamentary language for starters. I was shocked by her. But I also agree totally with what Lynn Ruan said, that you have to be careful about what you label everybody with, because that will be interpreted by those who live on the north side of the city, who come from communities that are marginalised, that would have been associated with antagonism towards the Gardaí, etc., as they're now calling us scumbags. And it doesn't help to deal with the rooted alienation and neglect that those community feels. In fact, it feeds into it. So I think Lynn Ruan made the point.
At those people, you know, in the north.
No, but
the
it could
city.
Have been. It sounded to me like it was.
Kevin,
and it could have been interpreted in that way.
It was directed, wasn't it, by the people who set the Lewis on fire and the Garda car
but
on fire.
Lynn Ruan also made the point to the Garda Commissioner that they use the word thugs to describe people in the riot. She said you need to describe their behaviour rather than describing the individual. And I think that's a very valid point. And I don't think that we do ourselves any favour by referring to people as scumbags from the floor of the Dáil or elsewhere, even though an awful lot of people feel that way in response to what happened in the city. We need to understand that there's a much, much deeper rooted problem here.
So that and increases that, the divide between, would you say, the establishment and the people who feel disenfranchised.
Exactly. And people are disenfranchised. And this is where the government can't get off the hook, because what often feeds in to people's idea of racial tension is, look at them, they're getting housed and we're not. And the housing crisis has been really predominant in the growth of racism. And that idea that communities have been left behind while others are getting looked after. Okay. It's the wrong idea, but it permeates.
Kevin, was she wrong to use the word scumbags?
What a time to be alive, Claire. When you can't, I have to disagree largely with what Breed said. I totally understand where you're coming from. You're right. There is an element of classism to all of this. But I think by saying you can't use the word thugs implies that you're implying that everyone who's working class is a thug. What language do you think the man trapped in his shop on O'Connell Street in the basement, hoping that the thugs upstairs would only steal the cigarettes and would only wreck his business and put him out of business for a couple of weeks and not actually burn it out and maybe burn him alive inside? What language do you think the bus driver pulled out of his bus on O'Connell Bridge while it was set on fire used? What
We're
language
talking about
do you think
the Minister for Justice now, not the bus driver or the shopkeeper? We're talking about the responsibility.
But she has to represent their experience of what happened as well. The real working class is the man.
Represent their experience without using the language. That implies that the people who feel alienation are going to be further alienated by the establishment, by the use of the language that the Minister for Justice used.
The real working class man was the council worker who was called out of his bed at 3 a.m. last Friday morning to come up and sweep up the ashes of a Lewis so that people could try and get to work on Friday morning in Dublin City Centre. So language matters, but if we're saying that we can't call what happened,
it'll matter more when we have hate speech legislation. And I wonder, would Helen McEntee fall foul of her own hate speech legislation if she were to say this once that gets through, Neil?
No, I don't think she would. And I think,
but singling out one group and calling them thugs and scumbags?
Well, I think someone who throws a burning box into a Garda car is a thug, Claire. And I think that's a fair comp to make. And I think Breed is trying to equate two different things, because if you actually look at the addresses of where the people who were arrested came from, they came from all over Ireland. Longford, Donegal, quite a number from my own constituency, Churchdown, Ranelagh.
How it's interpreted by people who hear it.
Beyond interpretation, Breed, I'm trying to say what the actuality is.
I know what the actuality is. I wouldn't dispute you on that.
But the behaviour of those people who rioted on our nation's capital on the main thoroughfare on Thursday night was thuggish behaviour, and they, by doing that, were thugs. And I think we have to be quite clear that people who burn out Lewis's, burn out Garda cars, attack members in Garda Síochána, attack innocent workers, many of them from migrant communities, many of them young, many of them women trapped in their stores, they are thugs, and I have no problem calling them out. And absolutely what I want to see is a direct response to those people who rioted on O'Connell Street is that they are arrested. And they do face the rigours of law
What do you say about the lack of the Department of Justice, the Gardaí, the Commissioner, dealing with those who incite the hatred? Who got on their keyboards, the warriors that hide, and say, come on, lads, come out, we're at war, everybody out on the street. They've been stirring it up for years now, and nobody has touched them. They have attacked library workers in Cork and in Swords. Nobody has touched them. They've blockaded the roads at the airport and stopped people and demanded to see their passport. Nobody has touched them. They've got on buses and intimidated migrants who were travelling in the west of Ireland. Nobody has touched them. How do you explain that?
Breed, you and I disagree on a lot, but we actually agree on a couple of crucial things. And when we agree, we actually work very well. And we've seen that in previous referenda. I think the two of us agree absolutely that behaviour is despicable.
I want
to see an increased Garda reaction to that. We have seen, over 700 protests policed by Garda Síochána in the last 12 months alone. Yes, outside libraries, outside schools, outside the Dáil, outside politicians like Leo Varadkar's homes. We have seen people arrested. We are going to see a lot more of those people, Breed, arrested in the coming days for inciting that. We have existing legislation, and the legislation that you referred to, Claire, will give us a much stronger tool to target those people who have been absolutely abhorrent online and trying to directly coordinate that group on Thursday night.
Okay, Tracy, you wanted to come in the middle of that conversation when we were talking about the use of the words scumbags and thugs. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, language matters a lot. And I don't know how about older people at this panel, but I have personal experience when negative language about migrants was directed at me when I was victimized and harassed because of the tags and names that exist in public debate. So people didn't even know me, who I am, but they saw me as a migrant, and they embodied in me the negative stereotypes that are being repeated in public domain. So language matters a lot. But at the same time, I think the problem is that we were calling people who were vandalizing the streets of Dublin and making people fear for their life with one particular section of Dublin residents. And that is the problem. So it's not about how we are calling that particular person involved in a particular activity. It's about that we are spreading this name to all sections of society. That is the problem. And whether Helen McEntee was right to call people thugs, again, as a migrant person who would have been attacked if I was in Dublin city centre on that night, probably I would be more sympathetic to her calling people that way. But again, I want the strict division between people who are involved in the riots and the rest of society in Dublin that is being held accountable for something that they had nothing to do with.
Okay, we heard this week as well, Brie, didn't we, about increased use of pepper spray, tasers, water cannon now coming. We'll have our own here in this jurisdiction, and facial recognition technology. Are you in favour of all that?
No, and I'll just repeat what I said at the beginning. I think we need more than a law and order response to the growth of racism and fascism in this country. And I've been at riots, I've been at scenes of conflict with the Gardaí, where I've seen them having no problem dealing with it in a forceful way, with batons, with the special forces that they have. I think they're capable of dealing with it as is, and just giving them more weapons and more law and order means is not actually going to deal with the problem.
But there was a more nuanced strategy, we know, around how these particular protests, far-right protests, were policed in order not to give the people who organised them ammunition that they could use then to further their cause.
Well, I disagree that makes sense at all. And I think Thursday has proven that it makes absolutely no sense. When you have people outside a migrant centre threatening to burn them out and sometimes attempting to burn them out and they're not touched, that doesn't make any sense in terms of policing or criminality or intelligence work. All it says to me is soft kid glove approach to the development of far right fascist forces in this country, and come down heavy on people resisting evictions or even sometimes workers. Like, I use the example, I've seen pilots and Ryanair workers marching around the roundabout in Dublin Airport, being told to get off the road by the Gardaí in a heavy handed way. But I've seen the far right stop cars, insisting on people showing them their passport, and nothing happens.
So, Neil, I was asking Eamon Ryan about this on the programme yesterday. Like, are you going to have to communicate to the public now that policing in this country is going to look completely different to how it has looked in the past because of this new strategy around the pepper sprays, the tasers and all of that? Breed saying there it's not necessary. But are you going to have to tell people life is not going to be the same when it comes to how do we police this state?
Well, I think we need to actually get to the very essence of what policing has been good about in our city. It's a community-based policing system that has worked, and it does work. It's not going to be completely different. What we are going to see, however, in our immediate city centre is we're going to see a lot more guards on the street. We need that. We need that for reassurance, for workers, for migrants, for
everyone. People have been calling for that for months.
And they have, and I accept that call, Claire, and I'm not disputing it, but that's why we have two public order units across the city centre now, and we will have that for the foreseeable. In terms of the use of technology, we don't want any guard to be looking over their shoulder, concerned that they can't use the tools or strategies that they've been trained and certified to use. One of the real key new developments is, however, the use of facial recognition technology. This, particularly when you look at Thursday night, over 6,000 hours of CCTV footage, a couple of hundred people whose faces are clearly identifiable, who are doing all the horrendous things that we've mentioned. We now have the ability to use that technology to ensure we get real prosecutions.
And what happens to people who have the masks on or their face covered?
And that was some, but many of them have been able to be arrested through other means as well. As I said, there's an awful lot of CCTV. Not everyone kept their mask on for the whole time, didn't keep their face covered the whole time. We've seen over 40 arrests so far. We're going to see a lot more arrests in relation to Thursday night's absolute wanton acts of violence.
All right, Kevin, do you think that we're going to have to get used to changed policing in this state?
It sounds like it, and there's a balance to be struck. The world has moved on a little bit from that old kind of traditional idea of the guard being the one man in the village that you went to get your form stamped and all the rest. We have moved on. Rural crime has become sophisticated. Events happen now that we used to see in other countries that happen here. So I don't think anyone wants us to end up with an armed police force, but I do think we have to give them the tools to react to a brave new world. And I mean, Breed is dead right in what she said about the softy approach that was taken to a lot of these individuals. This was brewing. And I think the girls did feel that they couldn't deal with some of what was, because they were afraid of stirring up an incident like what happened last week. They were totally unprepared for it, and it can't happen again.
All right, we need to leave it there. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming in. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.